tip.
Good afternoon. It is June 16th, 2016. You're listening to A Little Column A, A Little Column B, hosted by Will Limonos and co-hosted by Zach Bishop. How you doing today, buddy?
Good afternoon to you, Will. I'm doing excellent.
I can't tell whether you're making fun of me or trying to take the spotlight.
I see what you're saying.
All right, yeah, we can wrap up the entire show now. It's not going to get any better than that.
I've been out walking, and they say walking makes you like 10 years younger. So I'm like a young 16-year-old right now.
10 years younger. That seems a little steep.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be more for geared at older people to say, hey, you should walk and, you know, do exercise so you're in shape and you'll stay sharper. Not sure they were meaning for me that as a 26-year-old, now I have the brain of a 16-year-old.
But I'm
taking it literally because I read it in a scholarly article.
On the internet? On the internet?
Yeah, that's true. Where else am I going to read something? When's the last time you read something that wasn't on the internet?
I've read books. it's happened in a life in my the lifetime.
The way you said that is like I've read books. It's like at this one point, like when I was 16, I read books.
Yes, I hear the Ronald Dahl movies are starting to make a comeback right now. We got the BFG coming back. That's probably the last book I read.
Which one was it?
The BFG, the Big Friendly Giant. That was Ronald Dahl, right? That movie's coming out.
Because I read some Ronald Dahl books. I mean, the most famous one is Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and then there's The Glass Elevator after that.
Matilda.
There were a couple other ones that...
Matilda was big.
Matilda, yeah, oh, right, yeah, yep. There were a couple other ones. I read at least another one that was like, oh, this was kind of cool. I didn't know BFG was. Maybe I... Don't hold me to it.
I'm pretty sure I spark noted it anyways, but
it was a while ago.
Yeah.
The book I gotta read is the one that you gave me. I gotta read that Mike and Mike book.
Yeah, you really should. It's a good read. It's an easy read too. I think one of the deterrents of reading is there is a little bit of effort into it, but once you kinda get into it, it's nice. It's easy. It's not as much effort. It's just got to be something you enjoy reading so it doesn't have, like, that homework textbook reminder of, like, oh, yeah, that's why I don't read.
That you're in one page, and then you all of a sudden you're like, man, I'm really tired. I could really go for a nap right now.
Daytime nap?
anytime nap. No, I got a stack of books. Now it's getting to be sunny out. I got to take a couple outside and just sit and enjoy the sunshine and knock a couple books off.
Do you find yourself reading more fictional or more, I guess, nonfiction books?
I'm a big fiction guy.
Really? I'm really not at all. I'm not much of a creative reader. I'm much more of a educator reading. Like, I'll read, like, more documentary-type sort of stuff, 30 for 30 equivalents in books, or, I don't know, business life lessons or advice or motivations or stories and those are kind of been the more recent things I've read that I found interesting. That I don't really have anything I'd personally recommend. It's more of just helped me personally. I don't know how it would affect you. You would either love it or hate it.
I don't mind reading books, whether it's a biography or whether it's a book to make you smarter in a certain area. But I kind of tend to lean towards podcasts for that, actually. Whether it's investing or economics or political, it's just easier. It's very passive. You can listen to it in the car. It's a lot harder to read a book in a car.
Especially while driving. Well, I'm not much of a fiction person. Either way, moving on, we got a whole bunch of things to talk about. Speaking of talking, let's talk some trash talk. We had some people saying some bold statements this week about who's the greatest, who's one of the top five, and who's in it. Who in your lifetime do you think has been talking the most trash and the best trash? Because there's two different ways to say it. There's people that just talk, and there's people who they don't talk, but when they do, man, does it hurt.
who in professional sports, or do you mean who in my life?
It could be either. I should fall somewhere on this list, though.
I feel like it's different. I mean, I don't know. It seems like in the NBA, it's real vicious. Where between us and other people, there it's more needling. It's like you're just trying to push the guy. You're just pushing his buttons a little bit. But it's not like, oh, I hope this guy goes and hurts himself later.
That's not trash talking. That's
that's what it seems like. LeBron seems really mad. Like I can't imagine what Draymond said to get him that mad. LeBron's been playing a long time. I'm sure he's heard a lot of stuff. So I was.
The thing is, this is not a very good example because LeBron was the only one who had something to benefit out of getting angry and upset. There's no way LeBron was going to get suspended. He wasn't going to get tossed. And even if he did, that game was well over at that point. The only gain from this was to get under Draymond's skin, get him suspended, or get him one more flagrant, or just get him to do something he shouldn't do because he has something.
And it worked?
And it worked. Everybody who's saying that Draymond Green was suspended is saying it's an incorrect fact right there. He was not suspended. He was given one more flagrant technical foul equivalent, and he'd already had one away from the suspension amount. The league did not suspend him for what he did. They just gave him one more thing that he'd already done multiple times. You can't break the rule that many times.
Yeah, it's I can't remember who I saw put it on Twitter, but it was he referenced. So you're saying if a guy has five fouls and then reaches in and gets a sixth and gets kicked out of the game, you're saying he got kicked out for that reach and foul? No. It's not that one act. It's that he's a habitual line stepper.
Exactly. And I don't think it was just. I don't think it makes sense. But those are the rules. Those are what the rules everyone else is playing with. And he broke them. It's standard protocol at this point. I don't have any problem with it. Would I rather see Draymond play? Yes, absolutely. And I think they're much better, obviously, with him than without him. But you got to be aware you can't do that. There's consequences to playing that way all the time. You got to be able to tone it down a little bit more.
I'm on the same wavelength as you. Does it suck that he doesn't get to play? Yep. Does it make sense that he got a flagrant foul for that and got suspended? Yep. Do I think LeBron egged him on? Yep. But you as Draymond, it's the same way. If you got five fouls, you got to know. Guys are going to try to flail into you, and you are the one that has to make sure you avoid that. And LeBron got him.
Oh, well, it's just, for me, the media and then just social media and in general have made this a much bigger deal than it is. It's really just boiled down to what we just said. He wasn't suspended for the one situation there. It was the combination of things throughout the playoffs that he'd done wrong that had built up to a certain period, a certain point where the NBA said, hey, you have this many personal fouls or flagrant foul equivalents. You get this many, you get suspended a game. And it even resets in the playoffs, right? Like it doesn't carry over from the season, or does it?
I'm not sure, but Steve Kerr did bring that up, saying it's interesting how the rules are the same for guys that are playing now and guys that have been on vacation for 2 weeks, which is something I hadn't thought of before.
So you think the number should go up?
You can't hit guys in the nuts time after time after time. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up to you. Whether in the form of a suspension or some sort of karma is going to come back to you.
Phrasing.
You can pretend like you're flailing all you want. It doesn't mean that you're not hitting dudes in the nuts.
I'm not a fan of that either. That I have a big problem with. But for me, I think there's a lack of education almost with everyone knowing the rules. Like I don't know what it is. I think it's seven. What is this, seven? He had six. I think this was seven.
Yeah, I think
seven.
Yeah.
You get suspended.
There's like a point system where it depends on like flagrants and technicals. There's points to them.
Well, the other thing, while I have even less sympathy for it, is like you said, even a lot of those questionable calls below the belt, those weren't initially given to him in the live game. Those were reviewed, and they were like, "Hey, they missed this. We're giving you one, even though it wasn't called." So he even like benefited from that in live aspect, like through the game.
Yeah.
There wasn't free throws. There wasn't exchange. There wasn't you know, anything change or any consequence in the live game, which they didn't play a lot of close games, so it probably didn't matter. But I'm sure in the finals right now, it wouldn't matter. If he hits somebody below the belt in a close game and they don't call it, but they give him a flagrant or technical foul post-game, you know, Cleveland could easily lose a game by 2-3 points or one possession, and that could be one possession right there that he got away with.
You just can't just keep flailing like that and think you're going to get away with it. And it's just, there's a lot of angles, and that's one of the things that's happening with sports media and really media across the board is something happens and you have to react to it. And it has to be 100% one way or 100% the other way. You can't go in 50-50 and say, well, it's kind of LeBron's fault, it's kind of Draymond's fault, there's a bunch of different angles. It's, oh, no, it's only this way, and you got to stick to it, and it gets kind of silly. We can see things along a spectrum. We're all adults here.
Are we? Because I see that exact scenario happening beyond just sports. Now, we're not a politics show. I'm by no means a politic expert, but this whole sides thing you're talking about and people saying, well, I can't agree that that's a good idea because I'm on this side or that. And I feel like the rationale of just this, the mental mind state in general of this entire generation is, well, I can't agree that that's a good idea because I'm on this side or vice versa. There's no general, like, hey, if we take a step back, we might be able to think, like, yeah, you know, I don't agree with everything you say, but that's a good one. I kind of like that idea. It really makes a lot of sense. But because you came up with it, I don't know. Maybe I'll fight it for a little bit, and you'll get it done or passed, or something will change in, you know, 5 to 10 years, because you know that's how things need to get changed, and not quickly, but just over time. We'll weaken our defense.
What are your predictions for tonight?
For tonight?
Yep.
I picked Cleveland in 7, so I think I need Cleveland to win 2 more games for Cleveland in 7.
I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Yeah.
Is it going to be a close game or a blowout? What are we talking here?
I'm hoping for a close game. When you sent me that stat that said we haven't had a game finish under 6 points since Portland game 7, was it even a game 7? Is Portland elimination game?
No, it was elimination. It was it's been more than a month.
More than a month of NBA games, NBA playoff games, conference final games, and finals games not finishing with a deficit less than 6 points. So I'm hoping that we get one more of those type games where it does finish under 6. I'm picking Cleveland. I think Draymond comes out early and they're firing. They'll jump on him. Cleveland will call the first timeout. Jump out to maybe an 8-point quick lead in the first quarter. Maybe Cleveland trails by 4 at half, takes the lead in the third. Close game back and forth in the fourth, but too much Kyrie to close it out. I think Kyrie is in a rhythm right now where I don't think they have an answer for him. You know, everyone talks about not having an answer for Golden State, but I don't think Golden State has really come up with an answer for Kyrie Irving. They may have to double, and if they do double, it'll be interesting.
He's a phenomenal offensive player, but I'm going to go the opposite. I think that Warriors close it out tonight. I think Steph has a big game. He wins MVP. I think LeBron does the normal LeBron stuff. He'll have some sort of crazy line, you know, 30-plus points, 15 rebounds, 10 assists, bunch of steals. But you were saying too much Kyrie, and I'm going to agree with you, too much Kyrie. He was too hot, a little bit of the J.R. Smith syndrome of, hey, guys, don't worry about it, I got this, and just too many shots, too many. Kyrie brings the ball up, he doesn't pass it, he just brings up the court, and then he jacks it up there, and he's going to shoot him out of it. That's my prediction.
If they had a guy on the team I felt was worth passing to that wasn't a better shooter than Kyrie, I'd be all for him passing. But they don't really have anyone willing to step up and do that right now. Kevin Love has disappeared. J.R. Smith is suddenly a defensive player, which just think about
that
for a second. Yeah, just think about that.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith is passive, is not forcing jump shots, is not taking shots, and is really, really putting in some effort on defense. And I don't say that lightly. Everyone's pretty hard, just in general, on JR for all of his antics and history. But he's playing defense. He's putting effort in. He's chasing people off the three-point line as best he can. He's running through screens. And is it fair to say that maybe he just doesn't have any gas left on offense? Is that possible?
It could be possible, especially if, you know, he normally has the, you know, 100% energy, and he's putting 95% of it into offense, and now this is what happens if he puts 50% into defense. There's just the 50% offense, it makes it almost look non-existent.
Jumper doesn't even seem like he can dribble.
He's got that stupid hair going on. He hasn't had much of an impact.
Well, I don't have much problem with his hair. I do have a problem with him taking jump shots. I think Shumpert has taken a lot of corner threes and made none of them. And that's not surprising to me. I don't think you look at Shumpert in the scouting report and say, hey, you want to chase this guy off the three-point line, or you want to definitely make sure he doesn't get any shots off. I think you're happy with him putting up anything off the dribble or any just spot-up shot in general. If he goes straight to the hoop, yeah, I don't want to let him do that, but I'll let Shumpert shoot all day, and so far I've been right about that. He hasn't been effective at all with his jump shot.
Nope, hasn't been that. A lot of this could come down to, I say LeBron's going to get his points, and I'm sure that he will, but last game he hit threes and he hit jumpers where this past playoffs he hasn't been doing that. And, you know, it's so hard because sometimes you get it confused and, you know, all right, in Miami he would do X, Y, and Z, and then later on, it's a fluid situation. He does stuff now that he didn't do then and vice versa, but ooh, it's almost been like he's allergic to that jump shot at some points. But I don't know if it's a, hey, he's figured it out, or it's a, hey, Draymond Green wasn't around to guard him, or if this is something that he can sustain. We're going to have to wait and find out.
Well, the one thing, I thought LeBron was actually a turnover machine in that closing fourth quarter. If Kyrie doesn't play the way he plays, I think we put a lot of blame on LeBron despite the numbers he put up. He did not close out the game really well. When he was trying to do the one-on-one isolation plays, I don't think he hit a single shot. He got in the post a little bit, which was nice to see, but he definitely stepped back for way too many threes, even with hitting a few earlier in the game. But Kyrie's got to be the guy at the end of the game, like he was last one, hitting the shots when you need them. And LeBron's just got to do the rest of the work the entire way. I want him taking jump shots off the dribble. He can make a play for anyone else. That's cool. But if somebody's going to make a shot off the dribble, it's got to be Kyrie in the closing minutes.
Well, if it gets towards the end, give LeBron the ball and let him drive to the hoop because he's still in a video game. He's super hard to stop.
He's not shooting. I don't think he wants to go to the free throw line, and that sounds like so cowardly to say with LeBron being such a tough guy. But I don't know if I want him doing that either, because I feel like when LeBron drives, he either does get fouled or he kicks it out, and guys like Shumpert or Kevin Love end up shooting it, and it's the right basketball play. I don't think there's any blame on LeBron for doing it, but those guys aren't connecting with their shots right now. They're not in rhythm. And even though basketball strategy-wise, it makes the most sense, I don't like it. It's not working. Clearly, that doesn't work.
Well, so to consolidate this, you think that there'll be a Game 7, which is that going to be Saturday?
I hope not. I got plans
for it to be Saturday, but it seems like every time I think it's going to be 2 days away, it ends up being...
Is it going to be a Sunday day game? Is that possible?
No, they'll never do that. I don't know, though. Saturday's not great, though, either.
Saturday's only 2 days away. On the travel, they give them 3 days, right?
Yeah, well, that's what they've been doing. Usually, I think, yes, it's going to be Sunday at 8 o'clock if there's a Game 7.
Well,
man, I thought...
Nobody has to work the next day.
I thought that... in the past, it's been, oh, man, you know, the playoffs really, really drag on. I didn't really feel that way this year until the finals started. And maybe just because there's no games in between, but it just seems every time, 3 days in between, let's get this going. You know, the draft's in a week, and it's almost the 4th of July. Like, all right, basketball, you know, it's over. All right, guys, we got to finish this.
No, stretch it on as long as possible. I was really worried that if Cleveland didn't win the last game, it was going to be officially baseball season. And I say that quietly because, oh, man, that's we would run out of topics on the podcast. We would really have to be – our Tinder lives are not that exciting to hold up for a podcast. It would be traumatic. It would really be detrimental to our life and the listeners. They don't know. But we get, hopefully, one. I'm predicting two more games of basketball. And then we can move on to that era.
Are you calling it baseball season or just early football season? Maybe pre-Olympics?
Pre-Olympics, I'm cool. The one thing I'm very excited about and that I enjoy throughout the Olympics is, one, there's kind of that American pride thing that you just immediately feel and you're like, wow, I'm really happy to be an American, blah, 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 and that's super cool. But the other cool thing entertainment-wise is it's on at, like, weird hours. So you could tune in in the bright and early in the morning, East Coast, West Coast, I don't care what time it is, and there's something going on. Because of the whole time change, and as well as there's something just generally always going on throughout the entire day. That's what's really awesome to me about the Olympics, is I can tune in, and whether I'm a fan of the sport or not, it's something to watch all the time. And nothing is better than live sports.
Yeah, that's what I like. It's all the weird times. You can always find something, and then you're watching, and you start to think to yourself, huh, you know what, the last time I saw synchronized diving? Yeah, it was 4 years ago. You know what? Go America! I hope those Chinese guys. I hope they mess up because I want America to win. And you get irrationally patriotic, and it's all of a sudden you found yourself watching synchronized swimming for an hour. You're like, where did this day go?
God, that is going to be the next Budweiser commercial, right there, folks. You heard it here.
One of the things that's cool this year with it being in Brazil is, at least for the East Coast, is that's the same time zone, isn't it? If it's not the same, it's pretty close.
I'm not an expert on that. I don't know.
Well, it's close. It's either the same or it's off by 1 hour or so for the East Coast. But in the past, where it's been in Russia or it's been in China, There's a big time difference, where here it should be a little more uniform, and you know, you don't have to do anything crazy like, hey, if I want to watch the finals of basketball live, I have to get up at 2 a.m. to watch it. It'll probably be on at probably prime time around here.
Nothing wrong with that. I you know what, I guess that. In the era in the past, I've been either in college or in high school at a point where it's like, ooh, yeah, tomorrow I don't need to get up and try and get paid for that J-O-B thing. So maybe I am going to appreciate that less time change a little bit more this year.
I think you will, because it'll be
if you're comparing it to the East Coast time, I'm already struggling comparing East Coast and West Coast time. Generally, it's favorable for me, though. I get to watch this game and go to bed early.
I've seen that that comment made a couple of times on Twitter when they're playing at Oracle and they're losing, or when they're blowing them out and people were leaving early, and they're commenting saying, it's 7:30, where do you have to go? Or 8, probably more like 8:30. It's like 8:30, like, where do you have to go? For East Coast, it makes sense, like, hey, I gotta go to sleep. Like, hey, no overtime here, guys, let's go. Got stuff to do tomorrow, but that hasn't been a concern.
Well, speaking of sleep, we might as well talk about the city that never sleeps and the city that may be welcoming a brand new NHL hockey team. The first professional sport to arrive in Las Vegas is going to be hockey. I'm excited for this. I think this is a great fit. I'm shocked that a professional sport has finally approved the city of Las Vegas, but I do think this is going to be a good fit. One of the best things for Vegas for me is going there is you're constantly having something to do. talk about the Olympics having something to do throughout the entire day. There's always something to do in Las Vegas, and there's a ton of entertainment. There's a ton of gambling, nightlife, people always coming to visit, always having fun. I think hockey is going to be a perfect fit for that.
Well, I gotta stop you right there, because the city that never sleeps, that's New York City. It might also be true of Las Vegas, but, you know, just to correct you there, just because you moved out to the West Coast, you know, some of us still live close to New York City, know people down there, and I don't want to get in trouble with those people saying that we didn't know anything about New York City.
All right, fine. You know what? I'm going to tell a little quick story right here. Now, I drove somebody from Lyft the other day, and they were from New York, and they had just moved mm-hmm. to San Diego, and they were asking me, like, do you see any, like, difference in the people? And for me, I was kind of like, yeah, no, it's one thing that's a little weird about especially this part of San Diego is nobody's really from San Diego here. Everybody's just really happy to be here and not where they were from. And they were like, yeah, you know, in New York, if you needed help, I can't say everyone would help you. And they were like, yeah, that's true. But if that person knew your name in New York, they would fight with you till the end of day if they knew who you were. And I said, yeah, I'm sure if the city of San Diego was somehow under attack, everybody would leave because there would be no loyalty there.
Scatter.
Versus if the city of New York was under attack, we'd grab our pitchforks. And even in Boston, too, we would fight until the end of the day for that city. And there's a little bit more connection and loyalty there. But those are that right there is the difference between the East Coast and West Coast personalities. I tried to make that clear to them. And this person had been they'd been drinking a little bit. So their logic was, I'll say, questionable. And they
makes sense. You know, it's a lift ride. Like, you know, that was smart move by them.
They were very, very apologetic for me being a Red Sox fan. And then this was an older couple. And they were saying, like, oh, you know, it sucks that you're a Red Sox fan. You could be a Yankee fan. I said, I'm only 24. I lived in the greatest Boston era you could ever possibly imagine. Every single sports team has won. I didn't have to wait, no, 60, 80 years or whatever for the Red Sox to win. I had to wait, you know, 20, if that. It's been a very pleasurable era for me, and she did not have a very good response to that after I said that. Being an older woman, maybe mid-30s, I'd say.
Uh-huh.
And we were just going back and forth about between the cities and the differences in the personality, but, man, she starts, like, arguing and screaming and getting all the tizzy over all this.
Man.
And I'm like...
And you're just like, I'm not even that into baseball. Like, I'm good here. I'm willing to bail on this.
I'm not. And the funny thing is, so the husband's with her, and she's getting all defensive about all this. And I said, right as the ride ended, I said, right there, that's the difference between the East Coast and the West Coast. That's the difference in the personality. And then they got out of the car, and they gave me a tip, and that was a good night.
Oh, there you go. I think some of that has to do with the Northeast in general, so the kind of from Washington, D.C. up to Baltimore, Philly, all the way through, because we all have this trauma bond, because we all deal with winters together. So we're not allowed, we're all connected with that. You know, we've endured this together. We're way tougher than anybody else. we're not going to take shit from anybody.
No, nor should you. I'm not saying you should, but what I am saying is you don't have to put up with all that anymore. Like, there are options. If you are not aware, you don't have to do that. There's definitely some benefits to New York City and Boston that you can't find in any other city. There's history, there's character, there's just something about it, vibe-wise, that isn't equivalent anywhere else. But it also gets cold, and just... getting rid of that option and knowing that there's other subpar cities, even San Diego, that offer sunshine throughout the entire year, I'm all right with that.
Yeah, that's soft lifestyle out there where people don't care about their teams. Yeah, I want no part of that. I'll stay where I am. But circle back.
Yes, go ahead.
Back to Las Vegas, which is way closer to you. So that's an advantage.
The real city
that
never sleeps.
I don't think you can say that.
But nothing closes there. There's
there's a lot more people in New York City. But anyway, regardless.
Sin City, can we say is that better?
What's that?
Sin City, is that better?
Sin City, because that's Las Vegas' nickname. Like, New York City's nickname is the city that never sleeps. Like, I'm not making this up right now.
If you Google
the city that never sleeps, it's in a Frank Sinatra song. They got it on lockdown.
Well, if you want to see the closest thing to seeing a Frank Sinatra thing live, it's in the Las Vegas Sin City, all right?
See, that makes way more sense. Do you think that this is going to work? Do they have enough people, or do you think it's going to be similar? And we got yelled at about this in the fall. The way the San Diego Chargers, it's just everybody comes out of the woodwork when the team is there. And it's really in a way fan stadium or arena, I guess, because hockey.
I don't think they'll have a strong fan base, but I do think people will show up and go to these games because it's something to do in Las Vegas, and people are always looking for something to do. Hockey is exciting. Neither of us are very big hockey fans, but I've been to hockey games, and they are very, very, very fun to go to. Whether you have any interest in the outcome at all, the actual just quick-paced entertainment value of it is awesome. It's easy to show up, tune in, whether you know how to play hockey or any interest in hockey. It's so fast and a lot's going on. It's just easy to watch, in my opinion.
No, it's very fun.
And I think that'll go hand-in-hand with the lifestyle of Las Vegas. If you can do anything and it's not very hard to do something lively there. I see that. Versus an NBA game would be all right too, but there's so many, I feel like, subpar regular season games that would be an issue for Las Vegas. Versus hockey, you know, even if it's not a very relevant regular season game, or if it's a mismatch, a really good team versus a really bad team, they're still hitting, there's still action, it's still very quick-paced. I think it's a shorter game that you could wrap up faster between the periods, with breaks in between, giving you time to, you know, go get some more beverages or go get more food. I think it's a good fit. I'm very excited. I'm glad this is the first professional sports team to jump into Las Vegas. Hopefully, I'm really hoping things go well and that all of the potential problems that the NBA scenes and the NFL see are not lived up to.
Do you have any concerns that the quality of the product on the ice will be worse because guys will come in the night before, they go out in Vegas, and they get a little too much fun, and so the next day it's not a premier matchup that you guys are playing at a below average level?
Well, one, it's always a concern, but I don't think as an athlete, it's any more tempting to do that in Las Vegas than New York, L.A., Chicago, Boston, Dallas. I don't know, all these other cities that there's a lot to do, a lot of livelihood going on. I don't see how Vegas is any more over the top than that. You gotta have some willpower as an athlete at the end of the day, and you either have that or you don't. If you're going to do that, you're going to do that in any city anyways.
That's always what I thought, and you can have fun, and just your games aren't till 7 o'clock the next night. You can be up pretty late, and you wake up at 1 o'clock and still be able to recover, I would think, pretty easily. It's not like you got to be to work at 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning like the rest of us.
No, but it. One thing I think that is, regular civilians are going to run into athletes now that, especially in this city, where I imagine there's only so many places to go out, but you could stay out at these places also. You're going to party with this person all night, and then the next night they're going to go out and play. I could see that happening.
Do you think so? I would think that Las Vegas, along with all the other cities that you mentioned, would just be able to accommodate celebrities in a way that would prevent them from having to get mobbed by people where, yes, you're at the same casino, but you and I are at the $10 blackjack table, and Carmelo Anthony and friends, they're in a VIP, like, crazy high dollar, room.
In other cities, I could see that, but Vegas is really, really the strictest business motto of any other city. It's all about money. I don't care how much money you have. If you're willing to spend X, Y, and Z to hang out with these guys, we're going to take it. And then we're going to offer you gambling options inside there, and we're going to take all that too. And no, we're just going to clean you out. That's the entire city's motto right there. It doesn't matter how much you have. They're going to take all of it regardless. And if it's going to take you to go hang out with the special people, VIP people, to take all your money, that we're going to do it. I don't see that being a problem in Las Vegas.
Who's taking whose money in this situation?
Las Vegas is taking
everyone's money?
The casino's taking everyone's money. The clubs are taking everyone's money.
That's what I mean. That's what I think. They want to make these athletes feel... They don't want the athletes getting distracted by people coming up saying, oh, hey, can I get your autograph? They want in their own room with their own bankrolls, not getting distracted by the little people or the clock.
I'm not sure.
All right. Well, it'll be an interesting experiment, and I agree with you that I hope that it goes well and it opens up the possibility of a football franchise there, which there's been some talk of, or an NBA franchise, which for whatever reason people seem deathly afraid of. Like, if there's a franchise there, that it's going to be a black hole that just sucks all the NBA players into it, which I don't have those same fears.
You know, the other thing I don't understand, I feel like it's such like a biased thing to say that, like, yes, NFL players and NBA players would not be able to handle the city of Las Vegas. But somehow hockey, it's a concern, but it's something they were willing to think about reasonably. Those aren't apples and oranges in my book.
I think there's a lot more comments to be made on that, but that's for another podcast.
Well, speaking of Sin City and regretful acts, one of the topics I have written down here is a drunk customer apparently paid with a credit card and left a $1,000 tip on his credit card, and then later returned the next day realizing that was a mistake. That was not the, I'll say even just 15% or 20% standard tip. It was excessive. But he went back and he demanded to get it back, and you sent the topic in. So did he actually successfully receive all that money back, or was that not charged?
Well, before we get to the end of the story, what do you think the protocol is on this? Have you ever left too big of a tip to start with? Yeah, first question. Have you ever left too big of a tip where either you walked away that night or the next morning you woke up and you're like, why did I have that? Why did I give that much money?
Nope, never had that problem. I've always paid pretty good attention to tipping, mostly because I used to work in the restaurant industry, and I know that's how you make a living. It's off tips. I will always try and tip cash. I will always tip off the complete total, the final total, and not the tax total. One thing, I don't know if you know this or not. So the recommended 15-20%. 25% tips you'll see on the receipts at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Those totals are based on without tax, so it's a smaller bill. Most people don't know that, and they'll tip with the tax added on. Technically, it's not encouraged. It's not supposed to be done that way. So just as a minor little education, you don't have to tip on tax. Now, I always do, because that's how I was always tipped, and I appreciated that. And once at our restaurant for a short time period, we said, oh, we'll offer, the tip recommendation, since most people don't know how to tip or don't know what the common practice is. We'll put the suggestions on the bottom. Now, when you put the suggestion on the bottom, the only legal way to do it is without the tax. So now servers, bartenders, and everyone working there were making less money. So we removed that and said, oh, we'll just let them figure it out themselves. Chances are, more often than not, people round up, and we'll just, You know, they don't need to know about that whole tax break tip right there.
if you're not good at math, then you get punished.
It's true. But I've always paid pretty exclusive attention to it just because I'm familiar with the whole other side of it. I know what their expectations is. I have a more or less pretty good feeling of what sort of effort and what sort of night they're having and what they, in my opinion, earned or deserved. So no regretful mistakes for me. Definitely regretful
really,
rounds.
Not one. I'm not talking about $1,000. Not one time. Attractive waitress or bartender, and you after you've had a couple of drinks, you're thinking, no, I'm gonna impress her.
Never. I do tip pretty generously throughout, regardless of who's taking care of me. Because of that, I understand if you give me good service and I feel like you went out of your way even the slightest bit, or if you didn't do anything to ruin my night, you're going to get a standard tip, or if not, beyond that, more. Regardless of who it is, I've never gone excessive in terms of, because if nobody, I've had somebody tip me excessively and it didn't do anything for me. It didn't make me treat you any differently or any better. I'm going to do my job regardless, and if... That's how I assume everyone else is going to go. If I drop a $100 tip on a beer right now, I'm not expecting anything in return other than $100 less in my pocket.
What's the point of the tip then?
There isn't.
Better service.
It's not. The thing is, if you've already got good service, you should tip what the service is worth. You don't need to tip more than that because you're not going to get any better.
It gets awfully shaky there. But with this guy... Have you ever come across somebody drunkenly tipping too much then? Not yourself, but like a buddy?
It's happened. You know, they're very, I'll say friendly wait staff or friendly bartenders. You know, they're obviously attractive and they'll talk to you and make you feel all special and on the inside. And, It's happened. I'm not going to fall for it. I realize what they're after as well.
Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly how this guy situation happened, but I know one time I was at the bar with some buddies, and later on in the night, one of the guys left. He left for the night, but he forgot to cash out.
Oh man! All right. I forgot about this story. Go ahead.
So a couple of other guys said, "Oh, well, we know him. Like, well, we'll cash out for him and we'll get his credit card. You know, we're gonna see him in the morning." Left like a $700 tip, like a $20, maybe $40 at most tab. And I never heard the follow-up. I'm assuming he went back, because none of us have that kind of money. I'm assuming he went back and probably had to do what this guy did, and he was probably embarrassed, which was probably all of our collective reasons for doing it, because he left early. But yeah, I'll have to follow up on that at some point and find out what happened there.
The podcast will be waiting, as well as I will. I don't know the end of that scenario. For working in the restaurant, there have been times where somebody would give you, like in the tip slot on the signature over there, they would write $10, and then they would write the final total, and the final total wouldn't be $10 more. So you're kind of stuck in the middle between, well, he signed off on that being the final total. Do I punish him for his math or reward him for his bad math? You know, generally you...
I think it goes...
You go by the final total.
It goes in your favor, doesn't it?
No, you go by the final total.
Well, what's the sense of writing the tip then? You're just making me do extra math? Maybe, you know what? No, that's how you probably get a bigger tip out of me, is if I could just have you just here, you do the math for me. You know what? Starting to get a little hazy here. I don't want to leave a $1,000 tip by accident.
You don't need to leave a $1,000 tip. You need to take that small little handy device that people used to use to make phone calls and just open up the calculator app and do 15-20%.
No, I'm not going to be some sort of nerd. I can do this. I know how to do tax in my head or how to do a tip in my head. That's not hard.
In some states, if you know the percentage of the tax, you could just multiply that as well. It's even easier.
Yeah, I usually don't know what the taxes are. I don't know those off the top of my head.
It's different state to state, but if you want to look up a fact to do kind of quick, easy math on tipping, especially in the restaurant and service industry, that's something to look up in the state you're in.
Yeah, it wouldn't hurt.
Easy math.
I don't think that would work. The pre-tax, just take some money. Let me go on my way. Well, this guy that left $1,000 tip, the waiter that got kind of brought it to the manager afterward, and they actually put it aside. They said, you know what? This was a $60 tab. This doesn't seem right. So yep, the guy came back in the morning, asked for it back. They gave it back to him, but he did leave a $40 tip on the $60 tab. So very generous, not $1,000 generous, but still generous. Probably he was embarrassed that he had to go back to a place in the morning.
Man. You know,
can you imagine his fear, though? Like, he woke up and remembered or checked his bank account, or he might have woke up, went to go get breakfast, and, didn't have enough money in his account.
Or realized he didn't have his card on him?
I think he cashed out, because he left the tip, so he must have the card.
They must have gave him something.
Oh, man, can you just imagine that all hitting you the next morning, just that... Oh no! Like that's rent. That's like the whole rent. I gotta go back. I can get this money back, or I don't have a place to live.
It could be scary. I'll tell a quick story. There's a bar, and it's actually a chain. It's throughout all Southern California. There's three in San Diego. There's two right next to me. And they have a deal where it's buy one, get one during certain hours. And they're not even irregular hours. They're like very convenient hours where you buy one drink, they give you two. If it's a mixed drink, they can ask you to, you can either have two or they'll make a double. These are the rules. Okay. There's certain restrictions on some beers and some liquors and all that. They don't have a very large variety, so it's basically just about anything in there. So all throughout Lent, which for me was double Lent, because I did Greek Orthodox Lent and the Standard Lent, which is basically
like Christmas is what it feels like.
It was like 80 days, basically, all right? So 40 days times two. It was basically two Lents. Every Friday, no meat, I'd go to pizza spot. I'd grab two slices of pizza and one margarita and one cheese, and I would sit down there, and I would enjoy my pizza, and I'd go home every Friday. That would be my dinner. One Friday, I said, I'm going to get these two slices of pizza. I'm going to go across the street. I'm going to have one beer over there, and then I'm going to go home. I go next door. Of course, it's the happy hour. They have the buy one, get one deal. And I said, you know what? I got to drive. I'll just give me a light beer. I'll do a Bud Light, just something simple. All right. And the guy says, all right, that'll be $5. I'm like, cool, whatever. He goes in, gets the Bud Lights. He hands me two of them. And I hand him the card. I'm like, oh man, I really only wanted one here. I'm just here for one unwinding drink, and then I'm gonna go home. All right, that's it. All right, I'm here for one drink.
That's how I get you.
I'm gonna unwind, and I'm gonna go home. I hand him my card, and he goes, "Hey, I'm sorry to tell you this, but we got a $10 minimum." And I look at him, and I said, "I came here for one goddamn drink, and you're telling me I gotta have four to get out of here." To cash out with my credit card minimum. I got no cash on me. I either got to go pay an ATM fee that's going to be more than $250 for how much this beer costs right now, or I can have four of them and not drive home and then see where the hell the night takes me. And he's like, yeah, most people aren't as upset about it. which to him, to his argument, you know, that was a really, really fair argument. But this is the trap of this bar here. So here, I'll let you decide. What do you think? How do you think that night went? Do you think I ended up going with the one beer, handed off the rest, and went home, or what happened?
No, you the over under is over five, is what I'm saying.
I had my four beers at that bar and then continued throughout the next stops throughout the rest of the night. And it was not what I wanted.
Yeah,
you got to keep in mind, it was also Friday, too. It was Friday. So it did not take long for four beers in Will, and suddenly it's like, hey, it's Friday, guys.
We're more encouragement.
We're right where we want to be. We're right on the strip here.
Perfect. Yeah.
But what a trap that is right there. Oh, I'm sorry. We don't cash out with credit cards underneath $10. You need to either get something to eat, which it's not one of those type of restaurants where you're like, yeah, I'll try the chips and salsa, or I'll get an appetizer. No, it's a cool spot and it's great for drinks, but I wouldn't stand by the food. Don't co-sign me on that.
Yeah. Well, you I guess you could have tipped the guy $5. But I think it's pretty standard to actually that might not have worked. I don't know if they would have let that happen or not. I think it's pretty standard though that a $10 limit. I know at the convenience store down here, actually I think it's $5, but for there to be a limit because they only get paid a certain amount, so they got to make sure they're making money.
Either way, credit cards, you know, get cash. Just pay cash. Cash, no questions asked. Cash is easy. You carry cash on you still?
It's hard though, man. Sometimes. I seem to run out. See, the thing with when you use a card, it's like, okay, I'm using my card, and I'm different from most people. Where most people, it's, oh, I'm using my card. Like, this doesn't really count. Like, oh, yeah, this there's no pain. Boop, it's gone. Where when I think about it, it's like, oh, I have the card. I'm paying for it. You know what? I review all my financial stuff. I'm going to see this later. And I'm going to think, what were you thinking? You got to get smarter. Where when it's cash, there's no trace to it. It's like, oh, yeah, take this cash. Yeah, don't tell anybody. It's gone. It's kind of like reverse of like what the average person does.
It's the same thing, man.
Oh yeah, it is. It is the same thing, but it's there's a record. There's an electronic record. In 100 years, you'll be able to look up and be, oh yeah, Zach went to the bar on a Friday night. Yep, spent too much money that night. Oh yeah, he went back on Saturday. Yep, just had to go the full weekend. Yep, there he is on Sunday again.
There he is on Sunday. Yeah, I mean, that's true, but there's also benefits to that. I mean, you can make corrections. You know, if somebody charged you a $1,000 tip, you could say, we got a problem here.
Yeah.
Versus with cash, if you don't really remember tipping.
If you accidentally tip $1,000, it takes a while to count that out. Even if you're doing it in 100, that's 10 different bills you have to pull out. You know what? That's on you. You can't take that back.
I'm all right with it, but at least there's a record of it with cash. Most places don't even give you receipts, or they do, or you just don't take them.
No. Oh yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, I feel like when I pay with a card, they give you that first receipt, and then you give the card, and then they give you the two more receipts, and you sign one of them. I feel sometimes I'm compelled to take something away from this. It's like, well, there's three slips of paper. All right, well, you guys take most of it, but I got to take one of these here. I can't just walk away from this with nothing.
Well, you can't take the signed one. That's the only one you can't take. You can have the rest.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're definitely right. If it's cash, even if they've given me that little card or the little slip of paper, if I put cash down, it's just cash and walk away.
That's a problem. That's not good. Well, we're just under 6 minutes here. There's one other topic I want to touch on, and it's related. It's a good story. It's a happy story. We're gonna end the podcast on a good story here. Craig Sager, who's known as a TNT analyst, will be broadcasting as a sideline reporter tonight for the ESPN ABC game. Generally, TNT only does all the games leading up to the finals, and then ABC has the rights to the actual finals. So this is great to see. Craig Sager, who's obviously gone through to hell and back already on this uphill battle of some sort of cancer. I don't even know. It's very tragic. He's a very good guy. You may know him for his colorful outfits and just exotic suits. But he's got a great personality. He's known for some of the best sideline interviews you'll ever see, especially between him and Popovich. But it's very nice to see. We're not sure where Craig will be in a couple months or even in next year or next season. We hope to see him around. But just in case, I want to point out, let's enjoy one more night with Craig at the finals tonight. That's going to be fun. I'm excited for it. Just a really good gesture and a good move, sports-wise, all the way around.
Yeah, really cool. He's never done a finals game before. So, like you said, TNT doesn't do the finals, and he's been a TNT guy. But very cool that ESPN was willing to reach out, and TNT was also able to, come to an agreement. A lot of times these networks are very territorial. I know sometimes, you're watching a game, don't forget, football is going to be here, soon. Still, a ways away, but sooner
rather
than later.
Baseball season.
And you'll be watching a game on CBS, and they'll pretend, the game on NBC, later on, doesn't exist. And they have to know. We're watching all these games all day long. We're not just watching CBS, and then CBS ends their game and just huh, all right, well, I guess that's it for football today. And just no crossing of the streams. So just very cool that they were able to put aside their differences, say, this is more about one person making money or one network making money or being exclusive. This is a good move for everybody, and it's just really cool to see big companies come together and do something nice for somebody.
Yeah, no, it's great. It's nice to see the business side of it was put to the side, because obviously, as you've just said, there's some loyalty, there's probably some really serious contract things that had to be overcome. But I'm excited for it. I like seeing Craig. Craig's great. He's very outgoing.
Yeah, I mean,
he's different.
He's a staple. He's been working for Turner for 34 years now. that's a long time. That should earn you a ton of respect and allow something like this to happen. He's been loyal to you. You be loyal to him, especially with all the health issues that he's had to deal with the past couple of years, where he's been trying to do games and then still flying back to Houston for treatment regularly. That's got to be rough.
It's not easy, and all I can say is I just hope we get to see Craig again after tonight. I'm sure we will. I have my faith. I'm sure we will. I'm excited for the game tonight. What were your predictions for tonight? I'm picking Cleveland to win. You're saying they're wrapping it up.
I'm saying, wrap it up. Curry's going to have a ball game, and they'll default, give him the MVP.
Over under 8 points for Golden State.
Winning by over under eight?
Winning by. They're going to win by eight. They're going to win by less than eight.
They'll win by over eight.
They're going to win by over eight. Oh, man. Is this game going to be over early?
What's the over under on nut shots at a half?
Honestly, probably at least a half. I don't know, half point?
No, I'm saying a half. So if you think one's going to happen, you take the over. If you think none's going to happen, you take the under.
You know what? I wouldn't mind seeing LeBron just get him below the belt on a 20-point blowout. Let's just let it happen. Let him know how he really feels. I'll take the over.
Well, because Draymond will be back in, and we know he has a perchance to be flailing around with all of his limbs.
Well, we're just under a minute here. Draymond Green's going to be back. We will be back next week. You're listening to A Little Column A, A Little Column B, hosted by Will Limonos and co-hosted by Zach Bishop. Give him your Twitter name, my friend.
WickedZman24.
And you can reach me at DJSwissmas105. We appreciate all you guys listening. This was a fun show. Nothing was really planned, as usual. I'm not sure if you tuned into our last show. It was a little bit of the pregame and postgame. But we're having fun doing this. We hope you're having fun listening. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Little column A, little column B.